I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are happy to welcome today a duo who have not been in our studios before, which is surprising to me because they are from the Twin Cities, so not too far away, but we were just chatting, and they were saying, this is only your second time in Duluth, playing in Duluth?
Yes.
Oh, and it's Lato and Wright. I missed that
That's
important
okay.
fact there. Steve Lato and John Wright, welcome, guys.
Yeah, I don't know why it took us so long to play Duluth, honestly, because it's really almost an in-town gig because we're based out of Minneapolis. So it literally, I mean, this is a very short distance to travel, and Steve has a history here, and I've played up here for many years at the Blues Festival and various other venues around town with other bands, but for whatever reason, the pieces never came together. We passed through here on our way to Stage North. We passed through here on our way to Grand Marais a number of times. We played at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts, but it wasn't until last year that we got connected with Sacred Heart and Eric, so that was our first time.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you could make it. And Steve, we were talking, and you actually even used to go to school here and on this hallway, very hallway.
Absolutely.
So, and you're originally from ESCO, right?
Correct.
And, John, you are not from ESCO.
I'm not. I'm slightly east of that, Syracuse, New York.
He's originally a foreigner.
Yeah. Right. I am from around these parts. But I have been in Minnesota since 1986, so I think that qualifies me as a something. Maybe
you qualify.
You're still not one of them.
Grandfathered in somehow.
All right, well, we're excited to have you guys here, and you're doing a show at Sacred Heart Music Center tonight, and that starts at 7:30 p.m. Why don't we start with a song, and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more about you guys. What do you want to start with?
This is a piece off our very first album. The album's called You Mariners All. The album came out in 2000?
2000.
Yes, and we're going to see if we can still remember it. Gentlemen, whole, come listen to my story about the bold skew ball, that noble racing pony. Oh, the marvel was the man who brought bold skew ball over. He's a diamond of the land, and he rolls about in clover. Horses were brought out with saddle, whip, and bridle. The gentlemen did shout when they saw the noble riders. And some did shout hooray. The air was thick with curses on the great Griselda. The sportsmen bat their purses. Shot off like an arrow, they scarcely touched the ground, for the go-ahead it was narrow. Then Griselda passed them by, the gentleman did holler, the great will win the day, and skewball he will follow. Then halfway round the course, up spoke the noble rider, I fear we must go on, for she's going like a tiger. And when they did discourse, both skewball flew like lightning. He chased around the course, and the gray mare she was taken. Right on, my noble lord, for they have 200 guineas. The prize will be of gold when we become the winner. And past the winning post, bald skew ball too quite handy. Pause and ride a boat, order sherry, wine, and brandy. Gallant gentlemen, hold, come listen to my story about the bold skew ball, that noble racing pony. Oh, the marvel was the man who brought bold skew ball over. He's a diamond of the land, and he rolls about in clover.
Lato and Wright, live from Studio A, and you said that was one from your first album, right?
Yes, that's yes. Sort of
an oldie, but an oldie.
Yeah, it's an oldie, but a very oldie. It's a sort of a chestnut that all kinds of American and folk musicians from across the pond have done over the years. A lot of different versions of that. Ours happens to borrow heavily from more English and Irish interpretations of it. The song is called Skewbald, but there's also a version of it called Stewball, I think.
That's true. I think the American variant, right. Is it not?
Yeah. And it's the story of a race, a horse or a pony race or whatever. And
it's on the plains of Kildare, so that...
That makes this one in Ireland. But so they're racing, and then the horse and the rider speak to each other and end up winning the race. I think variants on that particular theme.
So here's what I want to know. How did you guys get together, and how long have you been playing together? I know it's been a while.
Yeah, we met in 19... Let me see if I can get this right. I think it was 1988. I was doing a Latin thing, very Santana-esque, with big percussion section. And we were going through bass players like crazy. And John was one of the bass players we went through like crazy.
Broke up the band, I think.
Yeah. But it was actually a lot of fun. We just kind of shared a lot of musical influences, I think, and decided that we'd keep each other in the Rolodex and eventually started doing some things together.
Yeah, the band actually sort of officially, I think it did its first gig in 2000, I think. Because I had decided I wanted to make another solo record, and Steve was going to be on it, and Matt, our drummer, who wasn't here right now with us, and it just sort of morphed into a Lato and Wright, and it's been that ever since, with a mission statement of kind of taking generally most everything we do is rooted in some kind of traditional piece of music, but highly reconstructed, rearranged. We'll write large portions of music to go on top, but mostly I'd say most of it is have some kind of connection to a traditional piece of music, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Is that what brought you guys together in the first place, was your affection for that kind of music?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, or that kind of music and the idea of electrifying it. Although we're not obviously the first or the last to electrify traditional music, but I suppose where we differ from other musicians that have gone down the same path, where
is that we tend to be a little bit more, we have a lot of jazz and sort of progressive rock influences. So there's our interpretations can be a little more angular, you know, a little more King Crimson-y, a little more challenging to listen to, I suppose. But that's kind of the element that I think that's kind of how we've carved out our very, 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 very tiny little niche, is that we do...
Wait, that wasn't enough varies.
Yeah, yeah. We do interpretations of traditional folk music, electrified, not today or even tonight. We're doing the acoustic version of the show, but electrified or acoustic interpretations, but really with this sort of avant-garde, jazzy twist some of the time, you know. In the
well, and I was thinking about that. It's just two of you, and so you have kind of a, most of the time, or often, I should say, you have a drummer
about
sometimes.
Half the time.
Okay,
yeah,
about
yeah,
half the time. Yeah. So you kind of have a limited palette to work with, in a way, but you are, but you guys do, it seems like, so many things with that, with the, you know, two guitars, two instrumentations, or two instrumentations, that doesn't make any sense.
Sure
but
does.
Two instruments, there, I think there's a mandolin here in the room somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
And so it sounds like, you know, sometimes it's electric, some, so
he'll
you
play
have,
electric, I'll play acoustic, mm-hmm. he'll play electric, I'll play bass.
He'll play acoustic, I'll play mandolin.
Yeah, so yeah. Is we try and mix it up with the tools we have, you know.
The other thing that we'll actually do tonight, too, John plays bass pedals, which is, for lack of a better explanation, the pedals you see on the organ, I guess, a section of that, and kind of adds a bass guitar sound when we're actually doing a duo and playing two acoustic instruments. So that kind of fills things out too.
Yeah, and I find that, and it, so, it's, it, but it's also in the music that you choose, I think, and the, all the different influences that you bring in. You're not just doing the folk songs, but you're bringing in all of the different
colors. Right, and that's that wasn't a conscious effort. You know, I think any band, they go out, they're just a result of their common influences. You know, so you bring musicians together, and what do you like? What do you, you know? And that's the process. That's the how music is created, you know, at least collaboratively, you know, when people get together. As long as they can agree on what the artistic, you know, we, so far we've agreed, so far so good, and, you know. We're all some of our parts, you know.
And okay. And in bringing together some so many different kinds of music that, you know, to me would seem disparate, maybe, you know, maybe two musicians, it's not so much. That must be a fun challenge for you. Is that kind of one of the things you enjoy about
it?
This
is
band?
And it well, sometimes it gets you into trouble too. I know that we put out a record in 2009 that we called Children's Songs because there are some pieces on it that are children's songs. They just happen to be written by Chick Corea and Robert Schumann and things like that. So I think we got a, John was telling me he got a call from
some library bought it, you know, they thought it was children's songs, you know. And we've run into this a few times where you know, what is the band? Well, it's, for us it's been just wide open. It's essentially, we didn't start this band to get rich, obviously, or anything.
We should have done that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, next time.
It's a better
next
idea.
Life. Yeah, but it was actually created out of sort of noble artistic reasons, I suppose, you know. It is whatever essentially we feel like doing, because there's, we, since the beginning, we, I've always been involved with studios, and I'm an engineer, and I've always had a studio of some kind or another, and I started a record label, you know, so we can essentially do whatever we want, and hopefully people will like it. So there's really no gates on it of any kind. It's just come out the way it's come out, and we've been fortunate that other people seem to like it.
Okay. And, you know, and that must keep it fun for you, because you've been doing it for so long now.
Yeah.
It has been a long time.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I mean, longevity is a good thing. You know, I've discovered when all the bands I've played in, it's really still about a live performance and just getting in front of, I wouldn't want to do this if we weren't playing live, and getting in front of people. Just making recording isn't enough for me. I like to share. I like to play live. We like playing live, and that experience is important. And getting in front of people and just winning fans, and that's just like any other band. That's what we've been slowly doing, just playing to whoever will
listen. Have you done a lot of touring, or...?
On and off, we've never been a super heavy touring act, but we have put in our fair share of many long drives. We've gone as far as upstate New York and North Carolina and St. Louis. And
so it's not just about playing live; you actually have to be able to spend a lot of time in a vehicle together.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's maybe the bigger trick.
Yeah. Can't get around the physics of having to get to point from point A to point B, because they haven't invented a teleportation device yet that I'm aware of.
Exactly. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. What do you guys want to play next?
From the new record that isn't out yet, that we haven't finished recording.
Ooh, a brand new piece.
Yeah. It's a folk song Steve brought to the band.
Gone forevermore. Our home was down in Tennessee before this cruel war. Well, carry me back to Tennessee. That is where I so long to be, among the fields of yellow corn. And my darling, Ellie Ray. My darling,
L.A. Ray, my sweet darling.
That's Lato and Wright live from Studio A, and a not released yet song, it sounds like.
What's, yeah, correct. What's
tell them all about it, Steve.
What's the name of that one?
It's called Ellie Ree, R-H-E-E. And it's, I believe it goes back to the Civil War. I found it as a bonus track on a John Martin CD that he released back in, 75 or so. So it's... it's actually an American song that worked its way across the pond to England, and
you're bringing it back.
We're trying to bring it back.
Give that back.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely.
Oh,
really,
thank you.
Really, really lovely. So, tell me about the forthcoming album. Well, actually, how many albums have you guys done? You've done several, right?
Yes.
Well, let's count.
There's your children's album.
Yeah, the children's album, which is for children, people listening, public. One, Ye Mariners All. Two, Darlene Corey. Three, Game of Chess. Four, Thrashing Machine.
Wow, you're good.
Five was Jigs and Reels. Six is Children's Songs. Seven, we got
November.
Live at the Focal Point.
Yeah, right.
Eight is the
November.
Is there something I'm missing? Shenandoah's in there.
There's an EP.
Yeah, so eight or nine, I suppose. And they tend to be, we've made CDs. Our CDs are about a vinyl and a half,
three sides.
Yeah.
Which you can't really do on vinyl very well.
Yeah.
So. No.
It's been
doesn't
done,
play
but
as
it's,
good.
Yeah.
We have been somewhat prolific. We were putting out one every year or two there for a while. It's been...
then we got old.
Yeah. Then things slowed down. But we've been, doing a couple other things. A videographer buddy of mine asked us to do a creative video for one of the songs off of Game of Thrones. If there's any Game of Thrones fans,
there. I believe I saw that the Reigns of Castamere,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
Anybody who has read the books or seen the
right, and that wasn't show. Our idea. That was this guy who's been following us around with a camera for a number of years now. His name's Zach Nichols. Great film, what do you call him? Videographer, film guy. And he said, you guys should do an arrangement of this song. I had never actually seen the show. I didn't know anything about it. I listened to the song. I thought, okay, that's a piece of folk music. We can interpret that. So we did. And he's having us do another one. So we've been occupied. We've done, stuff like that, recording stuff like that and other little bits of video things for YouTube and whatnot. But as far as a full record, this year will be another one.
What kind of material? So we heard the one song that's going to be on there. What other kind of material are you going to have on there?
We have a tune set that we're working on.
A what now?
A tune set. So it starts off with something that I thought was Scottish when I first heard it because it sounds like bagpipes. It turns out it's actually Irish, but I guess the way we do it, it sounds Scottish.
Right.
But it segues into a couple of Irish tunes and then a crazy piece of music that John wrote to wind things up. That's very
fast. So instrumental. We're talking about tune sets. We're talking about instrumental pieces generally.
that kind of flow together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And songs in this vernacular, songs have words, tunes don't. In this particular idiom, we discovered. We were told. Nope. So, yeah, I suppose for the new record, I don't want to say more of the same, but it is more Leto and Wright interpreting, you know, traditional music and then sticking our own two cents in wherever we can.
And we've been thinking about doing some more original stuff on this too. So yeah. We've got some things that we're working on there, and we need to spend more time on them, I think.
Sure.
Is that something that you've done a lot through your several albums and included a lot of original stuff?
You know, when John mentioned that we take traditional material, what we wind up doing a lot of times is actually just taking the lyrics, and then the music behind it winds up being our original stuff. We did a piece on children's songs called Betsy Bell and Mary Gray, and I think there are like two verses. I mean, there's very, very little lyric content, but the piece that we do is 18 minutes long, so there's a whole lot of music going on, and none of the music is traditional.
No.
The melodies are not even based on traditional interpretation of that piece of music. So
we kept the lyrics.
We do that a lot.
Yeah, we'll retain the lyrics and then throw away whatever melodies are generally associated with that particular traditional tune. We just won't use them, So that's a good example.
And we've kind of done that too for some. We've done a number of Pete Seeger covers actually, where our finished arrangement sounds nothing like the original, but certainly keeps the lyrics.
Right.
That's kind of funny because it's almost like, you know, the Woody Guthrie things that have happened, and now there's an album using Bob Dylan lyrics. Except in those cases, there was no music going with the lyrics, and people just kind of put their own music to it. But it's sort of the same, only.
Well, it is. I mean, it's really what it is. It's the folk process. It's called.
And and it's a long, long. You guys were not the first people
to
do this.
And this is what's been happening since the people before you could record something, and everything was
how things are passed
through
on
your ears. You know, so that's why stuff morphed or changed. Because if you put 10 people in a room and you say ham sandwich into the one person, it's going to come out Mack truck or something in the other side, you know? So, the same thing with music. So melodies will change, you know, when recording was invented, that changed a lot, more than a lot, changed a real lot, because now you had a fixed version that you could always reference. So since the 1920s, we can go back and listen to fixed versions. So really, in our day and age, we're taking those fixed versions and consciously changing them, as opposed to unconsciously changing them. But it's still the same process. We're still taking something and moving it or changing it.
Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to wrap up with here?
How much time do we have? How long is this thing?
Well, we have, let's see, we have 18 minutes, 17 minutes, but feel free to, you know, be a little shorter than that.
Well, this is about 6 or 7?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We won't.
You guys grab that mando when you need it?
You know?
That's the absolute deadline, but but we're cool. That's perfect. That's great.
All right.
That is Lato and Wright live from Studio A. And what was the name of that one again?
That was an excerpt from the aforementioned children's songs record. So there was a series of tunes assembled together.
What is that? What did you call that? A tune
set?
Tune set.
Yes. So the first piece was actually Bela Bartok from 44 duos for two violins. I can't remember the exact name of it. Mermel's Dance, I think.
And I should mention, in case you didn't notice, Steve has switched to mandolin on this one.
Yes.
You did.
My out-of-tune mandolin. And the second piece was, what was that? That was a medieval thing. Where did you find that one? Buckingham's Branley.
Yeah, it's from some early music piece that I pilfered off of somewhere. And then it went into an Irish tune.
Yeah.
And that's a little segment of what was actually a 33-minute tunes instrumental piece that we had assembled for that record.
Don't exaggerate, it's only 32 minutes.
32 minutes, yes.
Well, when you asked me how much time you had, I knew that however much time it was, you could fill it up. I was certain of that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys. That was really nice to meet you and great music. And again, that's Lato and Wright. They're performing tonight at Sacred Heart Music Center in Duluth. Show starts at 7:30, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Come on, come all.
And today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.